Good evening, it's so nice to be with you tonight again, and I just like to say at the beginning, you know, I like to say that God loves you, the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was Sir Walter Scott, as he lay dying, said to his son, bring me the book. The son said, but sir, you have many books, and in fact you've written a library of books. Sir Walter says, the Bible. And he asked him to turn to John chapter 14, and he got comfort for his soul. What does it say? Come unto me, all ye that live. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also. He got refuge and comfort his soul. You know, some time ago, I was reading in the newspaper about a woman who was out with her young son in Dartmoor. And of course, the eventful happening, she got lost away up in the mirrors. So she phoned the AA requesting help, gave her direction where she thought she was, made the call, and waited for an hour, and then phoned again. The answer came back, that road doesn't exist on our satellite navigation system, and we won't be coming for you. You know, tonight, in our meeting, it's no matter what road you're on, a road of suffering, a road of disappointment, a road of heartache, a road of sin, a road of wandering, the God of heaven, fully knoweth what road you are on and where you are and what situation. No, was it not Hagar? Hagar that said that day, Thou God, seest me. Jeremiah chapter 33 and 3. We'll just read the following verses. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut in the court of prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew chapter 14. We'll break in the chapter at verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. But they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Luke chapter 23. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed at him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We trust that God will bless the public reading of his precious word. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was shut up in prison. It's no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in tonight, whether it be, as we've said about, in darkness, disappointment, seeking the Lord, or seeking some way of satisfaction. The Lord Jesus is available. Call unto me. Call unto me. Call unto me, the person. That is the God of heaven. The God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. A promise. And show thee revelation. You know, in this busy life in which we live, you know, we sometimes make calls. You sometimes get music, your call is important to us. And as music comes, and then you wait a minute, your call is important to us. You know, I wonder tonight, whoever made that call. Not to... Although we speak to friends, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's accessible, he's available, his hand is not shutting that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. So close, so close. Whether it be in the storms, or whether it be at distance, or whether it be in the darkness, or whether we're down in the dumps, you know, the Lord Jesus is ready, listening and waiting for your call. You know, I came back one night and I said to someone, you know, I thought you would have phoned me. I was waiting for your call, but it never came. And tonight, as the gospel message goes forth, remember, so, before we make the call for salvation, we must feel a need. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And I will answer thee. You know, someone has said concerning prayer, I don't know if it's quite scriptural, we're looking for the answers to the prayers for which we need. We're eagerly expecting for the things for which we prayed. But if the answer doesn't come in the way we think it should, it's just that God is planning for us something extra good. And I will answer thee and show thee, that's revelation, show thee, when Thomas had been absent, that says Thomas was absent from the meeting, absent from the presence of the Lord, absent from the communion with his fellow brethren. What a loss. And then he says, when they told him, we have seen the Lord, we have seen the Lord. He says, Peter was adamant. He says, I will not believe unless I see the marks in his hands and put my hand into his side. You know, it was a week later before he could come, and graciously the Lord was there. And when he saw the marks, Peter was adoring my Lord and my God. But the Lord says, blessed are those who have seen, who have not seen, and yet believed. The answer, I will answer thee. When we turn over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 14, what is it we sometimes sing when the storms of life are raging? Tempest wild on sea and land, he will hide me, safely hide me in the hollow of his hand. The fourth watch of the night, in the darkness, in the storm. Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. You know, I think it's in Mark's or another account it says, that Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. It said he was not come into them. Think of this troubled world. Think of this troubled world that the Lord Jesus, God manifest in flesh, had never come near in the person of the Lord Jesus. Think of it, if the Lord Jesus had never come to Bethany, where there was sorrow and there was tears, there were death, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Think if the Lord Jesus had never come to Jericho that day. With that blind man, you know, it says Satan has blinded the eyes lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into the heart. He came. But think of a greater scene if the Lord Jesus had never come to Calvary. If the Lord Jesus had never come to Calvary. It was a dark place. It was a place of death. It was a place of light. It was a place of resurrection when the Lord Jesus came to that place. He saw them toiling. Straightway Jesus spoke unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bids me come on the water. And he said, come. And he said, come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peter left the security of the ship. No, I don't know. You know, we hear about social security and other security. And people depending on that. People depending on that security to see them through life. But you know, at the end, at this day, you know what? We who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation and security. But Peter was determined to leave the safety of all that. There was others in the boat, but they weren't willing to take that step of faith, that step towards the Saviour. You know, it's not the length, it's not the length of the journey, it's dangerous. It's the first step. And Peter left the security of the ship and came out and walked to the Lord Jesus. You know how easy it is for us as Christians too, as we, in the storms of life, perhaps, to take our eyes off the Lord and be distracted and be fearful and discouraged and disappointed. He says that he looked at the winds and became fearful. And Peter cried, and it said concerning Peter, beginning to sink. You know, there's young people here tonight beginning to sink at the beginning of life, beginning to sink. There's people in the middle ages here tonight beginning to sink, or older, beginning to sink. What does the hymn say? I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. But Peter cried, Lord, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And it said that immediately, right away, no hesitation, it says that the Lord Jesus stretched out his hand. Think of it. Christ's hands in Peter's hands. You know, that's our experience tonight. His hand in our hand, our eternal security, the eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And then it says immediately they were safe to shore. Is that not a picture? You know, when the Lord comes back again, and he comes in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, those who are the dead shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up here to be with the Lord in the air forever. Beginning to sink. You know, that's the story of the Garden of Eden. Beginning to sink. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, sinned, disobeyed God in partaking of that forbidden fruit. And God came in. Remember the cry, the first cry in the Bible was, Where art thou? Where art thou? The first cry in the Old Testament is, Where is he? Where is he? Which is born, the king of it. Beginning to sink. You know, even there, at the very beginning, God made provision for Adam and Eve. You know how they tried to cover themselves? With fig leaves. It said that they sewed fig leaves together. How transient that covering was. But God, in his love and his mercy, it said that an animal was slain and they took a coat from the animal and made them coats of skin. Looking forward to that day when Christ would make an offering, one sacrifice for sin forever. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we have another tree. God intervened at the first tree, and there was an offering made in that garden for sin. Here we come to another. It says, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in that garden there was a new tomb. You know, the Lord Jesus loves to be in the midst. It says that two thieves, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. You know, one of the thieves railed on the Lord Jesus. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Others cried, come down from the cross. You know, in the words borrowed from Nehemiah, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. If the Lord Jesus had come down from the cross, well, of his own volition, salvation would never have been accomplished. And we would still be in the darkness, we'd still be without God and without hope in the world. But you know, the Lord Jesus has made peace by the blood of his cross. One on either side, and Jesus in the midst, so close to the Saviour, almost within touching distance. You know, it was these people, four people that were carried near to the Lord Jesus. They were brought near. And these two thieves were brought near because of their sins. The Lord Jesus came there to bear away. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. You know, last moments in life are important. Last words are important. Last meetings are important. Last places are important. So here with this thief, right next to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And that thief that day, perhaps it was his last words. You know, without, you know how he confessed his sin. We are here justly. But this man has done nothing amiss. You know, he was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He knew no sin. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his lips. You know, when that sacrifice of old were taken in the times past, you know, it had to be selected to see if it was without spot and without blemish. And then it had to be secluded to see if there were any blemishes or any mark. You know, those who came, even the enemies of the Lord, this man has done nothing amiss. Truly, this was the Son of God. And then the animal had to be sacrificed. You know, taken, perhaps dragged to the place. That says, if we read it in the beginning, then came forth Jesus, bearing his cross. this cross, the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, borrowed a coin. Show me a penny. The Lord Jesus, while he was passing out towards Jerusalem, it says he borrowed a colt. He borrowed a colt where never a man sat on. And then on another occasion, he borrowed a boat that he might sail, he might go out a little from the land and speak to the people. At the cross. The cross. The cross was his own. Then came forth Jesus, bearing his cross. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Low, faint on the road, neath a world's sin, heavy load, comes a thorn-crowned man in the way. With a cross he is bowed, yet still on through the crowd, he's ascending the hill, lone and grey. His cross, our sin, he bore our sins in his own body to the tree. He died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. What a load, what a load. The sin, the sin, the sin of the world. For God so loved the world. So loved the world that in such, so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have a personal possession, everlasting life. Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, Pilate mocked the Lord. Art thou a king then? Art thou a king then? If you are a king, we'll give you a crown. We'll go back to the Garden of Eden. Because of fall, because of man's disobedience, it says that thorns and thistles shall come up. What is it we sometimes sing? Crowned with thorns upon the tree, silent in his agony. If you are a king, we'll give you a scepter. And they gave him a reed for a scepter. And then they smote him on the head, and these thorns were embedded into his head. And then they gave him a purple robe. They mocked him as a physician. It says, physician, heal thyself. They mocked him as a prophet in Pilate's judgment hall. When they blindfolded him, said, prophesy, prophesy, who touched me? They mocked him as a king. They mocked him as a king. And they put that crown of thorns upon his head and the purple robe. They mocked him. They mocked him as a saviour. If thou be the Christ, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Jesus, my Saviour, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name. Can you say it? Can you sing it personally? Coming, dying for me. He died the just for the unjust. We who sometimes were afar off have been brought nigh by the blood of his cross. Today, thou shalt be with me. Today, that was presently. With me, that was the person. In paradise, that was the place. God has prepared a place for them that love him. Is this the night? when you will meet that call. Meet that call. Only, God is only a prayer away, a prayer away. Will you meet that call? Call unto me, the person. And I will answer thee the promise and show you thee the revelation. Today the Saviour calls you to wash away your sins. However dark or however far you feel, however you might feel unwanted and unloved, but the Saviour has come out to you in love. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Today, the promise of today. It was D.L. Moody one night in meetings in Chicago. The people were stirred. It's a great meeting, great readings. And as he wound up his message, he says, you know, I want you to come back tomorrow night. I want you to go home and consider it. Think what I've said. Think what's on offer. Think of the consequences if you don't believe. You know, that very night there was a fire in Chicago, and it ripped right through, and hundreds of these people who had been there were lost. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. For what is your life? It appeareth as a vapour, a little bit and vanish away. For what to say the Lord live will do this or that, for what is your life? It is a vapour that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Today, with me in paradise. You know, you see, the jailer said, you know, in Acts, in the book of Acts, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But then, it was a bit of shoe-scot that turned it round and said, what must I do to be lost? What must I do to be lost? Just continue on your own way. Turn you back on God's love and the Lord Jesus and his death at Calvary. And pass out of time into a lost eternity, doing nothing. Letting time go by and the word comes again today, this moment. We're not promised another day, we're not promised another minute. Today, if you will hear my voice, pardon not your heart. I trust the Lord might bless the reading of his word. So would be a gracious God and a loving Heavenly Father. We thank thee that indeed has come out to us in grace and in love and in mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our God and Father, we thank thee for his death, because without his death we will have no life, everlasting life. Without his presence in our lives, our God and Father, we'd have no peace. And our God and Father, without thy heaven, we would have no prospect of being with thyself. We thank thee again for thy words. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for thee. O God and Father, we ask tonight, it was a prepared place for a prepared people, and our God and Father, we might take the opportunity tonight and seek the Lord while he is befound. Our God and Father, remember the words, God has devised a means whereby his people are not banished from thee forever. And our God and Father, not in our code of practices, not in going to church, but in a person, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank thee again for one indeed who died at the place called Calvary. He died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God, and who has made peace by the blood of his cross. We've been not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord, even as a lamb without spot and without blemish. And we thank thee for this, and we rest in this, and we go from this place knowing our God and Father tomorrow is safe with
with us because thou hast promised to be with us where we are, and our God and Father, we thank thee, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. These things we ask with tongue of thanks, and it says, it's worthy of a praise and name. Amen.